them anymore. I found the human scent and then Raoul's. I didn't catch Diego's. Was I going too fast? Or was the human scent just overpowering me? Half my head was absorbed in this strangely counterproductive hunt. Sure, we would find the girl. But would we be ready to fight together when we did? No. We'd be clawing each other apart to get to her. And then I heard the snarling and screaming and screeching explode from ahead, and I knew the fight was happening, and I was too late to beat Diego there. I only ran faster. Maybe I could still save him. I smelled the smoke. The sweet, thick scent of vampires burning, carried back to me on the wind. The sound of mayhem was louder. Maybe it was almost done. Would I find our coven victorious and Diego waiting? I dashed through a heavy fringe of smoke and found myself out of the forest in a huge grassy field. I leapt over a rock, only to realize in the instant I flew past it that it was a headless torso. My eyes raked the field. There were pieces of vampires everywhere, and a huge bonfire smoking purple into the sunny sky. Out from under the billowing haze, I could see dazzling, glittering bodies darting and grappling as the sounds of vampires being torn apart went on and on. I looked for one thing, Diego's curly black hair. No one I could see had hair so dark. There was one huge vampire with brown hair that was almost black, but he was too big. And as I focused, I watched him tear Kevin's head off and pitch it into the fire before leaping on someone else's back. Was that Jen? There was another with straight black hair that was too small to be Diego. That one was moving so fast I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. I scanned quickly again, feeling horribly exposed. I took in the faces. There weren't nearly enough vampires here, even counting those that were down. I didn't see any of Christie's group. There must have been a lot of vampires burned already. Most of the vampires still standing were strangers. A blonde vampire glanced at me, meeting my gaze, and his eyes flashed gold in the sunlight. We were losing. Bad. I started backing toward the trees, not moving fast enough because I was still looking for Diego. He wasn't here. There was no sign he had ever been here. No trace of his scent, though I could distinguish the smells of most of Raoul's team and many strangers. I had made myself look at the pieces, too. None of them belonged to Diego. I would have recognized even a finger. I turned and really ran for the trees, suddenly positive that Diego's presence here was just another of Riley's lies. And if Diego wasn't here, then he was already dead. This fell into place for me so easily that I thought I must have known the truth for a while. Since the moment that Diego had not followed Riley through the basement door, he'd already been gone. I was a few feet into the trees when a force like a wrecking ball hit me from behind and threw me to the ground. An arm slipped under my chin. Please, I sobbed. And I meant, please, kill me fast. The arm hesitated. I didn't fight back, though my instincts were urging me to bite and claw and rip the enemy apart. The saner part of me knew that wasn't going to work. Riley had lied about these weak older vampires, too. And we never had a chance. But even if I'd had a way to beat this one, I wouldn't have been able to move. Diego was gone, and that glaring fact killed the fight in me. Suddenly, I was airborne. I crashed into a tree and crumpled to the ground. I should have tried to run, but Diego was dead. I couldn't get around that. The blonde vampire from the clearing was staring intently at me, his body ready to spring. He looked very capable. Much more experienced than Riley. But he wasn't lunging at me. He wasn't crazed like Raoul or Christie. He was totally in control. Please, I said again, wanting him to get this over with. I don't want to fight. Though he still held himself ready, his face changed. He looked at me in a way I didn't totally get. There was a lot of knowledge in that face. And something else. Empathy? Pity, at least. Neither do I, child, he said in a calm, kind voice. We are only defending ourselves. There was such honesty in his odd yellow eyes that it made me wonder how I had ever believed any of Riley's stories. I felt guilty. Maybe this coven had never planned to attack us in Seattle. How could I trust any part of what I'd been told? We didn't know, I explained, somehow ashamed. Riley lied. I'm sorry. He listened for a moment, and I realized that the battlefield was quiet. It was over. If I'd been in any doubt over who the winner was, that doubt was gone when, a second later, a female vampire with wavy brown hair and yellow eyes hurried to his side.
Carlyle,
she asked in a confused voice, staring at me. She doesn't want to fight, he told her. The woman touched his arm. He was still tense to spring.
She's so frightened, Carlyle. Couldn't we?
The blonde, Carlyle, glanced back at her, and then he straightened up a little, though I could see he was still wary.
We have no wish to harm you,
the woman said to me. She had a soft, soothing voice.
We didn't want to fight any of you.
I'm sorry, I whispered again. I couldn't make sense of the mess in my head. Diego was dead, and that was the main thing, the devastating thing. Other than that, the fight was over. My coven had lost and my enemies had won. But my dead coven was full of people who would have loved to watch me burn. And my enemies were speaking to me kindly when they had no reason to. Moreover, I felt safer with these two strangers than I'd ever felt with Raoul and Christy. I was relieved that Raoul and Christy were dead. It was so confusing.
Child, Carlyle said, would you surrender to us? If you do not try to harm us, we promise we will not harm you.
And I believed him. Yes, I whispered. Yes, I surrender. I don't want to hurt anybody. He held out his hand encouragingly.
Come, child. Let our family regroup for a moment. Then we'll have some questions for you. If you answer honestly, you have nothing to fear.
I got up slowly, making no movements that could be considered threatening.
Carlyle!
A male voice called, and then another yellow-eyed vampire joined us. Any sort of safety I'd felt with these strangers vanished as soon as I saw him. He was blonde, like the first, but taller and leaner. His skin was absolutely covered in scars, spaced most thickly together on his neck and jaw. A few small marks on his arm were fresh, but the rest were not from the brawl today. He had been in more fights than I could have imagined, and he never lost. His tawny eyes blazed, and his stance exuded the barely contained violence of an angry lion. As soon as he saw me, he coiled to spring.
Jasper! Carlyle warned.
Jasper pulled up short and stared at Carlyle with wide eyes.
What's going on?
She doesn't want to fight. She surrendered.
The scarred vampire's brow clouded, and suddenly I felt an unexpected surge of frustration, though I had no idea what I was frustrated with.
Carlyle, I... He hesitated, then continued. I'm sorry, but that's not possible. We can't have any of these newborns associated with us when the Volturi come. Do you realize the danger that would put us in?
I didn't understand exactly what he was saying, but I got enough. He wanted to kill me.
Jasper, she's only a child.
The woman protested.
We can't just murder her in cold blood.
It was strange to hear her speak like we both were people. Like murder was a bad thing, an avoidable thing.
It's our family on the line here, Esme. We can't afford to have them think we broke this rule.
The woman, Esme, walked between me and the one who wanted to kill me. Incomprehensibly, she turned her back to me.
No, I won't stand for it.
Carlyle shot me an anxious glance. I could see that he cared a lot for this woman. I would have looked the same way at anyone behind Diego's back. I tried to appear as docile as I felt.
Jasper, I think we have to take the chance, he said slowly. We are not the Volturi. We follow their rules, but we do not take lives lightly. We will explain. They might think we created our own newborns in defense.
But we didn't.
And even had we, there was no indiscretion here, only in Seattle. There is no law against creating vampires if you control them. This is too dangerous. Carlyle touched Jasper's shoulder tentatively. Jasper, we cannot kill this child.
Jasper glowered at the man with the kind eyes, and I was suddenly angry. Surely he wouldn't hurt this gentle vampire, or the woman he loved.
Then Jasper sighed, and I knew it was okay. My anger evaporated.
I don't like this, he said, but he was calmer. At least let me take charge of her. You two don't know how to deal with someone who's been running wild so long.
Of course, Jasper, the woman said. But be kind.
Jasper rolled his eyes. We need to be with the others. Alice said we don't have long.
Carlyle nodded. He held his hand out to Esme, and they headed past Jasper back toward the open field.
You there, Jasper said to me, his face a glower again. Come with us. Don't make one rash move or I will take you down.
I felt angry again as he glared at me, and a small part of me wanted to snarl and show my teeth, but I had a feeling he was looking for just that kind of excuse.
Jasper paused as if he'd just thought of something. Close your eyes, he commanded.
I hesitated. Had he decided to kill me after all?
Do it!
I gritted my teeth and shut my eyes. I felt twice as helpless as I had before.
Follow the sound of my voice, and don't open your eyes. You look, you lose. Got it?
I nodded, wondering what he didn't want me to see. I felt some relief that he was bothering to protect a secret. There was no reason to do so if he was just going to kill me.
This way.
I walked slowly after him, careful to give him no excuses. He was considerate in the way he led, not walking me into any trees at least. I could hear the way the sound changed when we were in the open. The feel of the wind was different, too, and the smell of my coven burning was stronger. I could feel the warmth of the sun on my face, and the insides of my eyelids were brighter as I sparkled. He led me closer and closer to the muffled crackle of the flames, so close that I could feel the smoke brush my skin. I knew he could have killed me at any time, but the nearness of the fire still made me nervous.
Sit here. Eyes closed.
The ground was warm from the sun and the fire. I kept very still and tried to concentrate on looking harmless, but I could feel his glare on me, and it made me agitated. Though I was not mad at these vampires, who I truly believed had only been defending themselves, I felt the oddest stirrings of fury. It was almost outside myself, as if it were some leftover echo from the battle that had just taken place. The anger didn't make me stupid, though, because I was too sad, miserable to my core. Diego was always in my mind, and I couldn't help thinking about how he must have died. I was sure there was no way he would have voluntarily told Riley our secrets. Secrets that had given me a reason to trust Riley just enough until it was too late. In my head, I saw Riley's face again, that cold, smooth expression that had formed as he'd threatened to punish any of us who wouldn't behave. I heard again his macabre and oddly detailed description. When I take you to her and hold you as she tears off your legs, and then slowly, slowly burns off your fingers, ears, lips, tongue, and every other superfluous appendage one by one. I realize now that I've been hearing the description of Diego's death. That night, I'd been sure that something had changed in Riley. Killing Diego was what had changed Riley, had hardened him. I believed only one thing that Riley had ever told me. He had valued Diego more than any of the rest of us, had even been fond of him, and yet he'd watched our creator hurt him. No doubt he'd helped her, kill Diego with her. I wondered how much pain it would have taken to me to betray Diego. I imagined it would have taken quite a lot, and I was sure it had taken at least that much to make Diego betray me. I felt sick. I wanted the image of Diego screaming in agony out of my head, but it wouldn't leave. And then there was screaming there in the field. My eyelids fluttered, but Jasper snarled furiously and I clenched them together at once. It seemed nothing but heavy lavender smoke. I heard shouting and a strange, savage howling. It was loud, and there was a lot of it. I couldn't imagine how a face would have to contort to create such a noise, and the not knowing made the sound more frightening. These yellow-eyed vampires were so different from the rest of us. Or different from me, I guess, since I was the only one left. Riley and our creator were long gone by now. I heard names called Jacob, Leah, Sam. There were lots of distinct voices, though the howls continued. Of course, Riley had lied to us about the number of vampires here, too. The sound of the howling tapered off until it was just one voice, one agonized, inhuman yowling that made me grit my teeth. I could see Diego's face so clearly in my mind, and the sound was like him screaming. I heard Carlisle talking over the other voices and the howling. He was begging to look at something. "Please, let me take a look. Please, let me help." I didn't hear anyone arguing with him, but for some reason his tone made it sound like he was losing the dispute. And then the yowling reached a strident new pitch, and suddenly Carlisle was saying, "Thank you," in a fervent voice, and under the yowl there was the sound of a lot of movement by a lot of bodies, many heavy footsteps coming closer. I listened harder and heard something unexpected and impossible, along with some heavy breathing. And I've never heard anyone in my coven breathe like that. There were dozens of deep thumping noises, almost like heartbeats, but definitely not human hearts. I knew that particular sound well. I sniffed hard, but the wind was blowing from the other direction, and I could only smell the smoke. Without a warning sound, something touched me, clapped down firmly on either side of my head. My eyes started open in panic as I lurched up, straining to jerk free from his hold, and instantly met Jasper's warning gaze about 2 inches from my face. "Stop it," he snapped, yanking me back down on my butt. I could only just hear him, and I realized that his hands were sealed tight against my head, covering my ears entirely. "Close your eyes," he instructed again, probably at a normal volume, but it was hushed for me. I struggled to calm myself and shut my eyes again. There were things they didn't want me to hear, either. I could live with that, if it meant I could live. For a second, I saw Fred's face behind my eyelids. He had said he would wait for one day. I wondered if he would keep his word. I wished I could tell him the truth about the yellow eyes, and how much more there seemed to be that we didn't know. This whole world that we really knew nothing about. It would be interesting to explore that world. Particularly with someone who could make me invisible and safe. But Diego was gone. He wouldn't be coming to find Fred with me. That made imagining the future faintly repugnant. I could still hear some of what was going on, but just the howling and a few voices. Whatever those weird thumping sounds had been, they were too muted now for me to examine them. I did make out the words when, a few minutes later, Carlisle said, "You have to." His voice was too low for a second, and then, "From here now. If we could help, we would, but we cannot leave." There was a growl, but it was oddly unmenacing. The yowling became a low whine that disappeared slowly, as if it was moving away from me. It was quiet for a few minutes. I heard some low voices, Carlisle and Esme among them, but also some I didn't know. I wished I could smell something. The blindness combined with the muted sound left me straining for some source of sensory information, but all I could smell was the horribly sweet smoke. There was one voice, higher and clearer than the others, that I could hear most easily. "Another 5 minutes," I heard whoever it was say. I was sure it was a girl who was speaking. "And Bella will open her eyes in 37 seconds. I wouldn't doubt that she can hear us now." I tried to make sense of this. Was someone else being forced to keep her eyes shut, like me? Or did she think my name was Bella? I hadn't told anyone my name. I struggled again to smell something. More mumbling. I thought that one voice sounded off. I couldn't hear any ring to it at all, but I couldn't be sure with Jasper's hands so securely over my ears. 3 minutes, the high, clear voice said. Jasper's hands left my head. "You better open your eyes now," he told me from a few steps away. The way he said this frightened me. I looked around myself quickly, searching for the danger hinted at in his tone. One whole field of my vision was obscured by the dark smoke. Close by, Jasper was frowning. His teeth were gritted together and he was looking at me with an expression that was almost frightened. Not like he was scared of me, but like he was scared because of me. I remembered what he'd said before, about my putting them in danger, with something called a Volturi. I wondered what a Volturi was. I couldn't imagine what this scarred-up, dangerous vampire would be afraid of. Behind Jasper, four vampires were spaced out in a loose line with their backs to me. One was Esme. With her were a tall blonde woman, a tiny black-haired girl, and a dark-haired male vampire so big that he was scary just to look at, the one I'd seen kill Kevin. For an instant, I imagined that vampire getting a hold on Raoul. It was a strangely pleasant picture. There were three more vampires behind the big one. I couldn't see exactly what they were doing with him in the way. Carlyle was kneeling on the ground, and next to him was a male vampire with dark red hair. Lying flat on the ground was another figure, but I couldn't see much of that one, only jeans and small brown boots. It was either a female or a young male. I wondered if they were putting the vampire back together. So 8 yellow eyes total, plus all that howling before, whatever strange kind of vampire that had been. There had been at least 8 more voices involved. 16, maybe more. More than twice as many as Riley had told us to expect. I found myself fiercely hoping that those black cloak vampires would catch up to Riley, and that they would make him suffer. The vampire on the ground started to get slowly to her feet, moving awkwardly, almost like she was some clumsy human. The breeze shifted, blowing the smoke across me and Jasper. For a moment, everything was invisible except for him. Though I was not as blind as before, I suddenly felt much more anxious for some reason. It was like I could feel the anxiety bleeding out of the vampire next to me. The light wind gusted back in the next second, and I could see and smell everything. Jasper hissed at me furiously and shoved me out of my crouch and back onto the ground. It was her, the human I'd been hunting just a few minutes ago, the scent my whole body had been focused toward, the sweet, wet scent of the most delicious blood I'd ever tracked. My mouth and throat felt like they were on fire. I tried wildly to hold on to my reason, to focus on the fact that Jasper was just waiting for me to jump up again so that he could kill me. But only part of me could do it. I felt like I was about to pull into two halves trying to keep myself here. The human named Bella stared at me with stunned brown eyes. Looking at her made it worse. I could see the blood flushing through her thin skin. I tried to look anywhere else, but my eyes kept circling back to her. The redhead spoke to her in a low voice. She surrendered. That's one I've never seen before. Only Carlyle would think of offering. Jasper doesn't approve. Carlyle must have explained to that one when my ears were covered. The vampire had both his arms around the human girl, and she had both hands pressed to his chest. Her throat was just inches from his mouth. But she didn't look frightened of him at all, and he didn't look like he was hunting. I had tried to wrap my head around the idea of a coven with a pet human, but this was not close to what I had imagined. If she'd been a vampire, I would have guessed that they were together. "Is Jasper all right?" the human whispered. "He's fine. The venom stings," the vampire said.
"He was bitten?" she asked, sounding shocked by the idea. Who was this girl? Why did the vampires allow her to be with them? Why hadn't they killed her yet? Why did she seem so comfortable with them? Like they didn't scare her. She seemed like she was a part of this world, and yet she didn't understand its realities. Of course Jasper was bitten. He just fought and destroyed my entire coven. Did this girl even know what we were? Ugh, the burn in my throat was impossible. I tried not to think about washing it away with her blood, but the wind was blowing her smell right in my face. It was too late to keep my head.
I'd scented the prey I was hunting, and nothing could change that now.
He was trying to be everywhere at once, the redhead told the human. Trying to make sure Alice had nothing to do, actually.
He shook his head as he looked at the tiny black-haired girl. Alice doesn't need anyone's help. The vampire named Alice shot a glare at Jasper.
Overprotective fool, she said in her clear soprano voice.
Jasper met her stare with a half-smile, seeming to forget for a second that I existed.
I could barely fight the instinct that wanted me to make use of his lapse and spring at the human girl. It would take less than an instant, and then her warm blood I could hear pumping through her heart, would quench the burn. She was so close.
The vampire with the dark red hair met my eyes with a fierce, warning glare, and I knew I would die if I tried for the girl. But the agony in my throat made me feel like I would die if I didn't. It hurt so much that I screamed out loud in frustration. Jasper snarled at me, and I tried to keep myself from moving, but it felt like the scent of her blood was a giant hand yanking me off the ground. I had never tried to stop myself from feeding once I had committed to a hunt. I dug my hands into the ground looking for something to hold on to, but finding nothing. Jasper leaned into a crouch, and even knowing I was 2 seconds from death, I couldn't focus my thirsty thoughts. And then Carlyle was right there, his hand on Jasper's arm. He looked at me with kind, calm eyes.
Have you changed your mind, young one? He asked me.
We don't want to destroy you, but we will if you can't control yourself.
How can you stand it? I asked him, almost begging.
Wasn't he burning too?
I want her!
I stared at her, desperately wishing the distance between us was gone. My fingers raked uselessly through the rocky dirt.
You must stand it, Carlyle said solemnly. You must exercise control. It is possible, and it is the only thing that will save you now.
If being able to tolerate the human the way these strange vampires did was my only hope for survival, then I was already doomed. I couldn't stand the fire, and I was of 2 minds about survival anyway. I didn't want to die. I didn't want pain. But what was the point? Everyone else was dead. Diego had been dead for days. His name was right on my lips. I almost whispered it aloud. Instead, I gripped my skull with both hands and tried to think about something that wouldn't hurt. Not the girl, and not Diego. It didn't work very well.
Shouldn't we move away from her?
The human whispered roughly, breaking my concentration. My eyes snapped back to her. Her skin was so thin and soft, I could see the pulse in her neck.
We have to stay here, said the vampire she was clinging to. They are coming to the north end of the clearing now.
They? I glanced to the north, but there was nothing but smoke. Did he mean Riley and my creator? I felt a new thrill of panic, followed by a little spasm of hope.
There was no way she and Riley could stand against these vampires who had killed so many of us.
Was there? Even if the Howley ones were gone, Jasper alone looked capable of dealing with the two of them.
Or did he mean this mysterious Volturi?
The wind teased the girl's scent across my face again. My thoughts scattered. I glared at her thirstily. The girl met my stare, but her expression was so different from what it should have been. Though I could feel that my lips were curled back from my teeth, though I trembled with the effort to stop myself from springing at her, she did not look afraid of me. Instead, she seemed fascinated. It almost looked like she wanted to speak to me, like she had a question she wanted me to answer. Then Carlyle and Jasper began to back away from the fire, and me, closing ranks with the others and the human. They all were staring past me into the smoke, so whatever they were afraid of was closer to me than it was to them. I huddled tighter to the smoke in spite of the nearby flames. Should I make a run for it? Were they distracted enough that I could escape? Where would I go? To Fred? Off on my own? To find Riley and make him pay for what he'd done to Diego? As I hesitated, mesmerized by that last idea, the moment passed. I heard movement to the north, and knew I was sandwiched between the yellow eyes and whatever was coming.
Hmm, a dead voice said from behind the smoke.
In that one syllable, I knew exactly who it was, and if I hadn't been frozen solid with mindless terror, I would have bolted. It was the Dark Cloaks. What did this mean? Would a new battle begin now? I knew that the dark-cloaked vampires had wanted my creator to succeed in destroying these yellow eyes. My creator had clearly failed. Did that mean they would kill her? Or would they kill Carlyle and Esme and the rest here instead? If it had been my choice, I knew who I would want destroyed, and it wasn't my captors. The dark-cloaks ghosted through the vapor to face the yellow eyes. None of them looked in my direction. I held absolutely still. There were only four of them, like last time, but it didn't make a difference that there were seven of the yellow eyes. I could tell that they were as wary of these dark cloaks as Riley and my creator had been. There was something more to them than I could see, but I could definitely feel it. These were the Punishers, and they didn't lose. "Welcome, Jane," said the yellow-eyed one who held the human. They knew each other, but the redhead's voice was not friendly. Nor was it weak and eager to please like Riley's had been, or furiously terrified like my creator's. His voice was simply cold and polite and unsurprised. Were the Dark Cloaks this Volturi, then? The small vampire who led the Dark Cloaks, Jane, apparently, slowly scanned across the seven yellow eyes and the human, and then finally turned her head toward me. I glimpsed her face for the first time. She was younger than me, but much older too, I guessed. Her eyes were the velvet color of dark red roses. Knowing it was too late to escape notice, I put my head down, covering it with my hands. Maybe if it were clear that I didn't want to fight, Jane would treat me as Carlyle had. I didn't feel much hope of that, though.
"I don't understand." Jane's dead voice betrayed a hint of annoyance.
"She has surrendered," the redhead explained.
"Surrendered?" Jane snapped.
I peeked up to see the dark cloaks exchanging glances. The redhead had said that he'd never seen anyone surrender before. Maybe the dark cloaks hadn't either.
"Carlyle gave her the option," the redhead said.
He seemed to be the spokesperson for the yellow eyes, though I thought Carlyle might be the leader.
"There are no options for those who break the rules," Jane said, her voice dead again.
My bones felt like ice, but I didn't feel panicked anymore. It all seemed so inevitable now.
Carlyle answered Jane in a soft voice. "That's in your hands. As long as she was willing to halt her attack on us, I saw no need to destroy her. She was never taught."
Though his words were neutral, I almost thought he was pleading for me. But, as he had said, my fate was not up to him.
"That is irrelevant," Jane confirmed.
"As you wish." Jane was staring at Carlyle with an expression that was half confusion and half frustration. She shook her head, and her face was unreadable again.
"Aro hoped that we would get far enough west to see you, Carlyle," she said. "He sends his regards."
"I would appreciate it if you would convey mine to him," he answered. Jane smiled.
"Of course."
Then she looked at me again, with the corners of her mouth still slightly holding the smile.
"It appears that you've done our work for us today, for the most part. Just out of professional curiosity, how many were there? They left quite a wake of destruction in Seattle."
She spoke of jobs and professionals. I was right then, that it was her profession to punish. And if there were punishers, then there must be rules. Carlyle had said before, "We follow their rules," and also, "There is no law against creating vampires if you control them." Riley and my creator had been afraid, but not exactly surprised by the arrival of the Dark Cloaks, these Volturi. They knew about the laws, and they knew they were breaking them. Why hadn't they told us? And there were more Volturi than just these four. Someone named Aro, and probably many more. There must have been a lot for everyone to fear them so much. Carlyle answered Jane's question. 18, including this one. There was a barely audible murmur among the four dark cloaks.
18, Jane repeated, a note of surprise in her voice.
Our creator had never told Jane how many of us she'd created. Was Jane really surprised, or just faking it?
All brand new, Carlyle said. They were unskilled.
Unskilled and uninformed thanks to Riley. I was beginning to get a sense of how these older vampires viewed us.
Newborn, Jasper had called me. Like a baby. All?
Jane snapped.
Then who was their creator?
As if they hadn't already been introduced. This Jane was a bigger liar than Riley, and she was so much better at it than he was.
Her name was Victoria, the redhead answered.
How did he know that when even I didn't? I remembered that Riley had said there was a mind reader in this group. Was that how they knew everything? Was that another of Riley's lies?
Was?
Jane asked. The redhead jerked his head toward the east like he was pointing. I looked up and saw a cloud of thick lilac smoke billowing from the side of the mountain. Was. I felt a similar kind of pleasure to what I'd felt imagining the big vampire shredding Raoul, only much, much greater.
This Victoria, Jane asked slowly. She was in addition to the 18 here?
Yes, the redhead confirmed. She had only one other with her. He was not as young as this one here, but no older than a year.
Riley, my fierce pleasure intensified.
When I died today. At least I didn't leave that loose thread. Diego had been avenged. I almost smiled.
20, Jane breathed.
Either this was more than she had expected, or she was a killer actress.
Who dealt with the creator?
I did, the redhead said coldly. Whoever this vampire was, whether he kept a pet human or no, he was a friend of mine. Even if he were the one to kill me in the end, I would still owe him. Jane turned to stare at me with narrowed eyes.
You there, she snarled. Your name.
I was dead anyway, according to her. So why give this lying vampire anything she wanted? I just glared at her. Jane smiled at me, the bright, happy smile of an innocent child, and suddenly I was on fire. It was like I'd gone back in time to the worst night of my life. Fire was in every vein of my body, covering every inch of my skin, gnawing through the marrow of every bone. It felt like I was buried in the middle of my coven's funeral bonfire, with the flames on every side. There wasn't a single cell in my body that wasn't blazing with the worst agony imaginable. I could barely hear myself scream over the pain in my ears.
Your name,
Jane said again, and as she spoke, the fire disappeared. Gone like that, as if I'd only been imagining it.
Bree,
I said as fast as I could, still gasping though the pain wasn't there anymore. Jane smiled again and the fire was everywhere. How much pain would it take before I would die of it? The screams didn't even feel like they were coming from me anymore. Why wouldn't someone rip my head off? Carlyle was kind enough for that, wasn't he? Or whoever their mind reader was. Couldn't he or she understand and make this stop?
She'll tell you anything you want to know, the redhead growled. You don't have to do that.
The pain vanished again, like Jane had turned off a light switch. I found myself face down on the ground, panting as if I needed air.
Oh, I know,
I heard Jane say cheerfully.
Bree.
I shuddered when she called my name, but the pain didn't start again.
Is his story true?
She asked me.
Were there 20 of you?
The words flew out of my mouth.
19 or 20, maybe more, I don't know. Sarah and the one whose name I don't know got in a fight on the way.
I waited for the pain to punish me for not having a better answer, but instead Jane spoke again.
And this Victoria, did she create you?
I don't know, I admitted fearfully. Riley never said her name. I didn't see that night. It was so dark and it hurt. I flinched. He didn't want us to be able to think of her. He said that our thoughts weren't safe. Jane shot a glance at the redhead, then looked at me again.
Tell me about Riley,
Jane said.
Why did he bring you here?
I recited Riley's lies as quickly as I could. Riley told us that we had to destroy the strange yellow eyes here. He said it would be easy. He said that the city was theirs and they were coming to get us. He said once they were gone, all the blood would be ours. He gave us her scent.
I pointed in the human's direction.
He said we would know that we had the right coven, because she would be with them. He said whoever got to her first could have her.
It looks like Riley was wrong about the easy part, Jane said, a hint of teasing in her tone.
It seemed like Jane was pleased with my story. In a flash of insight, I understood that she was relieved Riley hadn't told me or the others about her little visit to our creator, Victoria. This was the story she wanted the Yellow Eyes to know. The story that didn't implicate Jane or the dark-cloaked Volturi. Well, I could play along. Hopefully the mind reader was already in the know. I couldn't physically take revenge on this monster, but I could tell the Yellow Eyes everything with my thoughts. I hoped. I nodded, agreeing with Jane's little joke, and sat up because I wanted the mind reader's attention, whoever that was. I continued with the version of the story that any other member of my coven would have been able to give. I pretended I was Kevin, dumb as a bag of rocks and totally ignorant. I don't know what happened. That part was true. The mess on the battlefield was still a mystery. I'd never seen any of Christie's group. Did the secret howler vampires get them? I would keep that secret for the Yellow Eyes. We split up, but the others never came, and Riley left us and he didn't come to help like he promised. And then it was so confusing and everybody was in pieces. I flinched at the memory of the torso I'd hurdled. I was afraid. I wanted to run away. I nodded at Carlisle. That one said they wouldn't hurt me if I stopped fighting. This wasn't betraying Carlisle in any way. He'd already told Jane as much.
Ah, but that wasn't his gift to offer, young one, Jane said. She sounded like she was enjoying herself. Broken rules demand a consequence.
Still pretending I was Kevin, I just stared at her as if I were too stupid to understand. Jane looked at Carlisle.
Are you sure you got all of them? The other half that split off?
Carlisle nodded.
We split up too.
So it was the howlers that got Christie. I hoped that, whatever else they were, the howlers were really, really terrifying. Christie deserved that.
I can't deny that I'm impressed, Jane said, sounding sincere.
And I thought that this was probably the truth. Jane had been hopeful that Victoria's army would do some damage here, and we'd clearly failed.
Yes, the three vampires behind Jane all agreed quietly.
I've never seen a coven escape this magnitude of offensive intact, Jane continued. Do you know what was behind it? It seems like extreme behavior, considering the way you live here. And why was the girl the key?
Her eyes flicked to the human for just a moment. Victoria held a grudge against Bella, the redhead told her. So the strategy finally made sense. Riley just wanted the girl dead, and didn't care how many of us died to get it done.
Jane laughed happily.
This one,
and she smiled at the human the way she'd smiled at me,
seems to bring out bizarrely strong reactions in our kind.
Nothing happened to the girl. Maybe Jane didn't want to hurt her. Or maybe her horrible talent only worked on vampires.
Would you please not do that? The redhead asked in a controlled but furious voice.
Jane laughed again.
Just checking. No harm done, apparently.
I tried to keep my expression Kevinish and not betray my interest. So Jane couldn't hurt this girl the way she'd hurt me. And this was not a normal thing for Jane. Though Jane was laughing about it, I could tell it was driving her crazy. Was this why the human girl was tolerated by the Yellow Eyes? But if she was special in some way, why didn't they just change her into a vampire?
Well, it appears that there's not much left for us to do, Jane said, her voice a dead monotone again. Odd. We're not used to being rendered unnecessary. It's too bad we missed the fight. Sounds like it would have been entertaining to watch.
Yes, the redhead retorted. and you were so close. It's a shame you didn't arrive just a half hour earlier. Perhaps then you could have fulfilled your purpose here. I fought a smile. So the redhead was the mind reader. And he'd heard everything I wanted him to hear. Jane wasn't getting away with anything. Jane stared back at the mind reader with a blank expression.
Yes. Quite a pity how things turned out.
Isn't it? The mind reader nodded, and I wondered what he was hearing in Jane's head. Jane turned her blank face to me now. There was nothing in her eyes, but I could feel that my time had run out. She'd gotten what she needed from me. She didn't know that I'd also given the mind reader everything I could, and protected his coven's secrets, too. I owed him that. He'd punished Riley and Victoria for me. I glanced at him from the corner of my eye and thought, thanks.
Felix, Jane said lazily.
Wait, the mind reader said loudly. He turned to Carlyle and spoke quickly. We could explain the rules to the young one. She doesn't seem unwilling to learn. She didn't know what she was doing.
Of course, Carlyle said eagerly, looking at Jane. We would certainly be prepared to take responsibility for Bree.
Jane's face looked like she wasn't sure if they were joking, but if they were joking, they were funnier than she'd given them credit for.
Me? I was touched to the core. These vampires were strangers, but they'd gone out on this dangerous limb for me.
I already knew it wasn't going to work. But still.
We don't make exceptions, Jane told them, amused. And we don't give second chances. It's bad for our reputation.
It was like she was discussing someone else. I didn't care that she was talking about killing me. I knew the yellow eyes couldn't stop her. She was the vampire police. But even though the vampire cops were dirty, really dirty, at least the yellow eyes knew it now.
Which reminds me, Jane went on, her eyes locking on the human girl again and her smile widening. Caius will be so interested to hear that you're still human, Bella. Perhaps he'll decide to visit.
Still human. So they were going to change the girl. I wondered what they were waiting for.
The date is set, said the little vampire with the short black hair and the clear voice. Perhaps we'll come to visit you in a few months.
Jane's smile disappeared like someone had wiped it off. She shrugged without looking at the black-haired vampire, and I got the feeling that as much as she might have hated the human girl, she hated this small vampire 10 times as much. Jane turned back to Carlyle with the same vacant expression as before.
It was nice to meet you, Carlyle. I thought Aro was exaggerating.
Well, until we meet again.
This would be it then. I still didn't feel afraid. My only regret was that I couldn't tell Fred more about all of this. He was going almost totally blind into this world full of dangerous politics and dirty cops and secret covens. But Fred was smart and careful and talented. What could they do to him if they couldn't even see him? Maybe the yellow eyes would meet Fred someday. Be nice to him, please, I thought at the mind reader.
Take care of that, Felix.
Jane said indifferently, nodding at me.
I want to go home.
Don't watch, the red-headed mind reader whispered. I closed my eyes.
This is Emma Galvin. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Short Second Life of Bree Tanner, an Eclipse novella by Stephanie Meyer. This program was directed by Karen DiMattia and produced by Dan Zitt. It was recorded at Out Loud Audio and edited at John Marshall Sound. Text copyright 2010 by Stephanie Meyer. Production copyright 2010, Random House Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.